decided that we do global warming, who threw the stars in the sky? You know what I'm saying? Who did this thing? It was him. I just think it's funny because anytime we say global warming, it gets cold. We need to say global cooling so it will get warm. I think God does that just to be funny. He's like, listen to those guys thinking they got this thing in charge. Watch this. Boom. So, you know, about every 2 years, I teach on the Eagle. And the last time I taught on the Eagle was 2014. So sometime in this year, which is 2017, it's actually going to be 3 years. I'm going to do that. But what's so ironic is I was looking at the notes from it, and I fell into this part of the very first one that I teach is I use this the Psalms 91, and it just stuck with me. So we're going to start a new series today, and we're just going to go till it's done. Do you know what I mean by that? In other words, I don't have like six of them planned out. It's like you just keep chewing on this stuff until you get every bit of it. You know, do you have a dessert that your mom made that you just love? And so you just kind of enjoy it, however long you want to enjoy it. That's what I'm talking about. So today, we're going to start this series. We're going to call it The Secret Place. Now, just so you know, it's not a secret. Here's what's so funny. You're going to have people that will tell you, there's this secret place in God, because they want you to think that they can only go there. You know what I'm saying? And that's just not true, man. And we're gonna walk through this thing. So, again, before I teach it, we need to spend some time here. So there's this place that we live, and we just need to see where we live, and it is this secret place. And hopefully by the end of this entire series, however long it does go, you're going to so know this scripture, and you're going to know exactly what it means in your life, and you're going to live there instead of just think about it. Let's look at the scripture here. He who dwells, and we're going to read this every single week, the whole thing, every single week. Maybe y'all should memorize it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge, and His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. There is not a terrorist in the world that can harm you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, he could kill you, but he can't harm you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, you need to hang on to this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. My best friend was in Fort Lauderdale yesterday when all that wreaking havoc happened. And his meeting that was supposed to have ended at 10 o'clock went overtime, and it didn't end till 1. So he didn't make it to the airport in time to be involved in any of that. Now, he wouldn't have been in harm's way, but he would have been in a mess. It's amazing how God will take care of his people. Only with your eyes shall you look, verse 8, and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you or your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under your feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he knows my name, says God. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, some people say, man, you know what? I've read that before, and I batteries, no Cowboy game till next Sunday. Y'all better get ready. Woo! Woo! About Tuesday, you're going to be going, gosh, shut up. I got to go to work. All right, here we go, man. This is good stuff right here. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to hang around in verse 1 today. Let's look at verse 1. Here it is. He who dwells, Yashav, in the secret place, it's pronounced Sether, of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of, that's Sail, like S-A-I-L is how that's pronounced, of the Almighty. So we're gonna stay right there today. But let me tell you what Yashav means, which is that word dwell. It means to remain, it means to sit down, and it means to stay. Common sense says you can't dwell if you don't stay. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because we have a lot of people who fluctuate. And listen to me, man. If you will learn to understand how much Jesus loves you and what he did for you and that there's nothing you can do to change that love for you, you're going to hang with him because you're not going to think he's going to punish you. I went through that whole phase of punishment when I finally came back to the Lord, and I had been in church my whole life, and I was like, dude, I am desperate. Just take me through that punishment phase. I'm ready for it. And there was no punishment phase. I had been taught that there was going to be a punishment phase because I didn't line up to it, but it's just not who he is. That's how he deeply loves me. But once we understand that, we're going to learn to dwell. So this whole word dwelling is about resting. And in 2015, remember, I did a whole sermon series on rest for 2015 because that was what the number 15 represents. But I just want to, here's what's so funny. It's like, well, yeah, that was 2015, so now I'll just get back to busy working. Well, no, it's this whole principle and understanding of this rest is important. So here's your refresher course today, just for a second. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians church. He said, I also pray that you're going to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. He's wanting us to understand the incredible power that we have for those who believe in Jesus. Hear it. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him, watch this, and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is seated where God is. Now watch this. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. In other words, do you see what this is saying? Jesus is higher than anything. He's higher than any of any problems, any evilness. He's higher than Satan himself. He's higher than all his little munchkins. He's higher. Jesus, did you get it? I want you to really grasp this. So God has put all things under his authority, all things. That includes you, whether you want to walk under his authority or not. You're under his authority. I love that. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. I want you to grasp in your thought, in your thinker, the understanding that Jesus is so high up, nothing can touch him. You hear me? Nothing can touch him. He's God. Everything else is below his feet. Okay, you really understand that. And you're like, you really believe that, don't you? Because that's easy to believe. Here's what you're not going to believe. Look at this next one. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved. Now watch this. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him. So my question is, if we're seated with him, where is the enemy? Under our feet. Where is the worst problem you've ever had in the world? Under your feet. The problem is we got to be seated with him in that secret place where we dwell. And you can dwell there, and you can live there, and you can have rest there, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we're seated with him in the heavenly realms. We're united with Christ. Here's what I want you to see in this. Look. Now, let me vacillate just a hair. Do y'all remember when your kids were little, and they were tying their shoes, learn how to tie their shoes? Okay. Remember when you wanted to help them tie their, you always had tied them, but then they got big for the britches. And they're like, I'll tie it myself. So what did you do? You sat down and you watched them as they struggled to try to tie their shoe. And then what happened? At some point that child says, Mom and Daddy, what do? You get up and you go tie the shoe. Listen to me very carefully. This is what we do to God. This is what we do to God. Let me tell you, the second you decide you can tie your shoe is the second he sits down like any good parent does and just waits till you get to the end of yourself. And then when you go, oh, God, I need your help, well, then you sit down and I'll get it done. You hear what I'm saying? When you rest, he works. When you work, he rests. He's a gentleman. He's not gonna make you do stuff. So here's what I want you to see. In the Old Testament, when everything was happening, the priest would go in at 9 o'clock in the morning and give the morning sacrifice. And he would stay there for 6 more hours in a standing position, because there was no place to sit in the tabernacle, guys. There was the table of showbread. There was the incense burning place. There was the golden candlestick. Then if you went into the Holy of Holies, there's the Ark of the Covenant. There wasn't a couch. There wasn't a chair. There was no place to sit down. It was work, 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 work. So the priest would do the 9 o'clock dude, and then wait 6 more hours and then do the evening sacrifice, which was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how it worked. I don't know if you remember Jesus. You remember Jesus? Do you? He's our friend, right? Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after everything had happened, after everything was done, he was on that cross for 6 hours until he died. Is that a coincidence, do you think? Look at this. Look at this. Look at the Bible. How about we read some Bible? Under the old covenant, the priest stands, I just said this, and ministers before the altar day and night, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which could never take away sin. It covered sin. It could never take it away. What did John the Baptist say when he first saw Jesus? There is the Son of God, the Lamb, who is going to take away the sins of the world. But our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down, the first time in the history of mankind that a priest sat down. Because they had to work all the time. Work, 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 work. Man, I got to do this. I got to do this right. God's going to be mad at me. If I don't do this, I won't stop doing that. Stop doing this and doing this. And the whole time he's like, well, whatever you think. And then finally you start understanding it and getting it. And you understand that you can sit in his lap. That's what it says. That's what that word said when it says, and we are seated with Jesus, with him, with him. So he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Did I get more? Is that it? No. And there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet, because everything's under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. One time, Jesus died for us one time. You can rest in the fact. You've got to rest in that fact, because the second you think you've got to start doing, I'm telling you, it'll drive you crazy. If you want to really get this and understand this, sometime this afternoon, I want you to take your shoe off, write down on the bottom whatever ugly thing you want to say to the enemy, and put your shoe back on, because that's where he can read it. It's the only place he can read it. He is below you, not above you. He's not even equal to you. He is below you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Leave him there. Cuss at him if you want. Okay, never mind. My wife said no. I won't go there at all. I've been married for so long, it don't matter no more. I've just been. Okay, so here's what I want to see. I want to make sure you understand this. This secret place is where we dwell, Yashav. And it means that's where we sit down and rest. How many people, I know people that go to bed at night that don't sleep a lick because their mind's burning because they're mad at somebody or something. In this place, you rest, no matter what the turmoil is around you. And you rest in the fact knowing that everything that is evil and ugly is underneath your feet. And Jesus is Lord, but you're sitting right there with him. That is a powerful thing to understand. Now, you get that. We're gonna move to the second point, and that is this. That's that word set there, which means the secret place. It literally means a secret place, a hiding place, a shelter or a covering. this secret plan, I had to say the secret place because, again, it sounds like, shh, it's a secret. Everybody who, if you've asked Christ into your life, you have access to this secret place. You just got to dwell there. Because the secret place, watch this, is in Jesus. How many times have I told you and made all kinds of different understandings? It is in Jesus. It's not about him. It's not near him. It is in him. That's what the Bible says very clearly, that it's in him. The secret place is in Jesus. And if you know him, if you've asked him in, then you are in. Look, guys, you remember Noah, right? Remember Noah? Noah was safe in the ark, wasn't he? Noah was safe in the ark. The floods were coming, and we talked a little bit about that last week when we were talking about 17. The floods were coming. Everything was crazy around him, but he was in the safety of the ark. You get it? He wasn't outside wanting in. You hear me? He wasn't. Rain wasn't pouring down on him. He was in. Now, just so you know, he wasn't perfect, but he was in. And just like us, he was called righteous because he believed. Look, just so you, in case you're wondering if that's not true, let's use scripture once again. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. And by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by belief. When you start believing properly, when you start believing the good news of Jesus, when you really believe that he did what he said he did on the cross, because he did, and you really believe that he loves you that much and that God loves you that much, when you really believe that all your sins are taken care of and that you are white as snow, even though you feel dirty as you can be, when you really start believing that, then you're going to really start understanding and walking in the fullness of who he is. Listen, this whole thing about this number 17, that completed victory, you will not have completed total victory unless you believe the victory, unless you believe it's there for you. Well, you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I know what he did. Oh, stop groveling and understand that Noah was not a good person, but he was in the ark. Do you hear that? He was in the ark. See, there were several times where Noah fell. Don't you know that inside the ark, with all those animals and all that poop factor that was happening in there, that you know, well, let's be real here. Come on, I got this 3D imagination. That place stunk. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, there was no windows. There was some, well, up at the very top, there was some little openings. But there was some serious stink going on in this place. And I'm sure there was some serious, and I'm sure that because of the sickness, some of that was diarrhea. And it was a mess. I just want you to understand, it was a mess. And incorporating that mess, it's going to get slippery in there, isn't it? And here Noah is, and he's being the perfect Christian that he possibly can. But he stepped in some doo-doo, and he just slipped and fell and said, "Oh, God, forgive me. I can't believe I did." That's not what he did. That's what you do. Because he was safely in the ark, even though he slid and fell. I know, you're going to have to read the Bible. I'll give you some just a second. Because here's the problem. Here's the truth. When we fall, we don't fall out of our righteous position in Jesus. Righteousness is a gift, and a gift is not a gift if it's taken back from you. If I give you for Christmas, if I gave you a $10, and then a week later I'm like, would you give me that 10 back, man? I got to go get me something to eat. Well, did I give you that really? No. Why? Because it's a gift is given, and you can't take it back. That's why when people say, "Well, you know, you gave me that, and I was thinking about giving it to so-and-so." Do what you want with it. Don't hurt my feelings. I gave it to you. Give it to whoever. Re-gift. Just don't re-gift it back to the person that, you know, that gave it to you. Because then and by the way, too, just because we've had this happen too, don't sell it at a garage sale when that person shows up to buy it. You know, well, this looks familiar. Don't know where it's from, man. Just, we had 12 of them, and we just wanted to, here, let's look at the word. For sin, the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his, look, gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. This is where the rub comes in, because what people say is, oh, well, thank God. Well, I'm in the ark, so I can just do whatever stupid I want to do. Why is he telling us that we're going to be able to triumph over sin? It's when we start understanding the truth of who he is. We, by osmosis, if you will, start walking in the truth of it. Go, give me a scripture somewhere. Just give me, there's one right there. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Don't let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to your stupid desires. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument for evil to serve sin. Instead, well, let's stop there for a second. Do you know why he says that? Because it's the truth. This is where the preacher never told you this little secret. He says that because he loves you. Do you hear what I'm saying? The reason God hates sin, and the word's very clear, he hates sin. Oh, and if, for those of you who have been divorced, let me just hammer you with that too. In Malachi, it says, God hates divorce. Let me tell you why he hates stuff like that. Because it hurts you. There has not been a divorce alive that hasn't hurt somebody. Do you get what I'm saying? He hates the stuff because he loves you so much. He doesn't hate stuff because he wants to hate you. That's what we do. And the reason we want to hate you is because we want you to be worse than us, so we don't have to feel so bad about who we are. But when you recognize how stupid and dirty and ugly you are, and accept and know how good Jesus is, it won't matter anymore. It don't matter what, I'm telling you, I've told you a billion times, it don't matter what you think about me, I don't care. That's not being rude at all. Say what you will about me, I'm dumb, I get it, but it ain't about me, baby. It's about him, and he's perfect. I'm not. Ugh, he's perfect. I'm not. But in this, by the same token, don't take that as an excuse. That's why the Apostle Paul had to constantly justify his teaching, his understanding of this whole thing called Jesus, because constantly it was like, oh, so you're saying I can just sin all I want? No, God forbid, he would say every time. Why? That's silly. You don't really believe, you don't really understand and know and love him if you just go out and that's your plan is just to sin all you want to do. That's silly. I can't tell you, the more I understand how much I can sin, the more I don't want to. I don't get it. I really can't put my name to it. I don't know. I think it's because it's so powerfully awesome that this guy that knows me better than I know myself, and if I confessed all my junk to you, y'all would walk out here going, oh my God, he's worse than I thought he was. Yet the Bible says he loves me more than anybody else could. I don't get it. I can't wrap my brain around it, but I can wrap my brain around it. It gives me the power to overcome sin. Because why? Because I'm not focused on my old sinful self no more. Now I'm focused on him. It is good. Thank you very much, Sister Van Zandt. Sister Van Zandt, that sounded so holy, didn't it? Am I done with this yet? Let me stop here for a second. Verse 13, so don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you got new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what's right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Why was sin your master under the requirements of the law? The Bible says it very clearly in another place in Hebrews. It says sin, the law gave sin its power. What does that mean? That means because if you're constantly dealing with the law, you're constantly looking at how bad you are. Do you hear what I'm saying? The law will kill you. And unless you don't have to walk under the law, and you don't have to walk under the law, then you're not lawless anymore. Because when he says you got to do the good, what God said to do good, but to love other people and to serve other people. That's the truth. Why do you think the Holy Spirit has the fruits of the Spirit and they all have to do with something that's positive and not negative? The fruits of the Spirit aren't, this is how you stop doing this and this is how you stop doing that. No, sir, the fruits of the Spirit is love. You start loving somebody, other things in your life's going to change. Love, joy. When you really have joy in your heart, I'm talking happiness, I'm talking joy. When you really got joy in your heart, nothing's going to affect you. You got joy. All circumstances will hammer you. It's not the point, is it? The Bible says, and this is actually at the end of my sermon, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the good news of Jesus. When your belief system starts really changing, when you start believing that Jesus, what Jesus did for you. So those times in your life where you're saying, well, you know, I've read this 100 times and it never helped me. Well, stop it and start believing. Because when you believe it, you receive it. When you doubt it, you do without it. And if you cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered. Did you know that? You didn't know that, Dad, did you? Did you know that's in my Bible? So sin's no longer your master, for no longer do you live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under freedom of God's grace. Now, wait a minute. How can you say there's freedom in God's grace when in God's grace I can do what I want? No. There's freedom in not having to do. Do you not get that, man? There is freedom. Did you know you can be in prison and be free? Amen. If you don't believe it, look at Apostle Paul's life. Most all of this stuff he wrote, he was in prison. Seriously, he was. He was in prison. A little squatty man, couldn't see very well. Bible says, sometimes he'd write. He said, the reason I'm writing such a big hand is because I can't see. He didn't have glasses back then. He couldn't go to goggles.com and buy him some glasses. There's freedom in God's grace because he who the Son has set free is free. You're free to not do. I just wish you could grab that in your brain. We're free to not to do, because again, if you're walking under the law, it's about doing, and you're constantly, but I do right, God, I did wrong, I messed up, I did it, I messed up, I did it, I did wrong, I messed up, I did it, I'm sorry, I'm, no, sir. There's no freedom in that. The freedom is in knowing that everything was taken care of on the cross, and you start from the tetelestai position of it is finished, and that's then you start doing life, rather than trying to chase God and somehow chase the law and get it done. So that's a little side note that I got off course on because I wanted to. Where am I at here? I just did that one. What is that? That was 14. So, I'm almost to my conclusion. Y'all be happy about that. So, here you have this secret place. We talked about it's a place of rest, right? And then we just talked about this. It's in Christ. This secret place, this place of shelter is in Jesus. And then one of the last points I want to make is this. The secret place is a place of intimacy with Jesus. She's going to show that scripture again where we started. He who dwells, Yashab, dwells, stays, sits down and stays. And part of that sitting down is sometimes just sit down and shut up. You ever say that to your kids, even though it's rude? Just sit. My mom used to say it to me all the time. I never could figure it out because I was a child. She'd say, shut your mouth and eat. That's probably why I was so skinny. Shut your mouth and eat. What, intravenously? You want me to put a needle in my arm, put the food in there? So he who's Yashab, to hang, to sit down and let Jesus do. Man, Jesus is the high priest. Finally, somebody's sitting down because it's done. And in the secret place, we've talked about that, and the Most High shall abide. So here's what's interesting. You've got dwells, and you would think dwells and abide, because dwells does mean abide in that word. In that word, Yashab, it means to abide. But this word lun is interesting, because it not only means abide, but it means to lodge. It means to take up resident. In other words, it's one thing to sit down and stay, but it's yet another to move your furniture in. Do you get it? It's one thing to sit down and stay for a while, you know, until Jesus didn't work out for you because he just didn't do things the way you wanted him to do. But it's another thing to back the truck up and say, I'm here to stay, putting my king-size bed in here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm done. Man, when you get there, listen to me. Because let me tell you, for a lot of years, I yeshab, but only in the last 10 years have I learned to say there. And that is, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. You can't kick me out. Because I have the deed to this place I'm living. You hear it? So, again, and then that word shadow, love this word shadow. It means to cover. It means protection. It literally means shade. Now, here's something for you to understand. To be under the shadow of something, you have to be close to that something. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like the guy who lost his dollar coin, and he lost it in the corner of the house, and where it was kind of dark, and he's in the living room, and he's looking for it, and they're like, dude, where'd you lose it? Well, I lost it in the corner of the house, but there's more light over here, so I'm going to try to find it over here. You get what I'm saying? So what? That's kind of how we do in this thing. We want to be under his shadow, but you got to be near him to be under that shadow. But listen, under that shadow, not only is rest, but there's coolness, there's refreshment. And that's what this word literally means. When you're in the shade, it means refreshment, coolness, rest. There is this intimacy, and we've moved our stuff in, and it's there to stay. And let me say this too. The secret place that we're talking about is not a geographical location. You hear what I'm saying? It's not, man, I've got to go dwell in the house of the Lord today. That's good that you're here in the house of the Lord, but your dwelling place is not geographical. It's all about intimacy with Jesus. And you will never, listen, and you know this is true, you will never be sincerely, honestly intimate with Jesus until you believe what he's done for you on the cross. Because you will always have this thing hanging over you that you're not good enough, that you can't line up to who he is. Listen to me very carefully. You stay there, you will never be in that place of intimacy. And that's why the Word says in two different places in the Word, and it talks about what Jesus did for us on the cross, and then it says, and this is why you can boldly go into the throne room. We don't believe that. We don't boldly go in because we're afraid he's going to somehow punish us or hurt. Listen to me. That's where you live now. You can live there, and when you do stupid, you will do stupid, but you live with him, and you can go bold in there and go, wow, I did stupid. Why? Because you really are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's where I'm living now, and it's a wonderful place to live, just so you know. So under his shadows, this refreshment, this coolness, this rest, it's not this geographical location, it's this intimacy, and the secret place is not for the chosen few. It's for us all. It's for us all. So I suggest those areas where you something isn't under your feet right now, somehow you let it get back up, you need to understand and start sitting back down with Jesus. Let him tie your shoe. Amen. You get it? Let him tie your shoe. So here's my final conclusion right here. This secret place isn't a place of fairy tales, and it isn't a place of no problems. Because for years, we've been taught that too. That if we're right with God, then everything's going to be peachy keen and basso groovy. Need a mosquito and torpedo. That's what we've been taught. But the truth is, well, what does the Word say? Jesus said it. I've told you all this. He told us all what? He told us about famine. He told us about rumors of wars and wars. He told us about there's going to be crazy earthquakes in weird places, Oklahoma, locally even, Burleson, whatever. And, you know, we can blame it on fracking all you want. That's fine. The truth is, the Word says there's going to be earthquakes in weird places when the last times come. And he talks about all this horrible stuff. And Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you can have peace. Really? Really? So you made me watch the news for 4 hours. And now you're telling me you're going to be good. I feel dirty because I watched all that news. And you're going to tell me, you're telling me all that because you're going to give me peace? Watch this. Here on this earth, you're going to have it. It doesn't say you might. Do you hear me? It doesn't say, oh, if you live right, you won't. What does it say? Jesus said it. On this earth, you will have many trials and many sorrows. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been around for a while. And so if I'm older than you, I've had more trials than you and I've had more sorrows. If you're older than me, I will yield. Because the truth is, the longer we stay alive, the more it happens. That's not to say we can't overcome it at all. Because what does he say just right there, right after it? He says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. When your life gets to where it's overwhelming to you and you can't figure it out, and, oh my God, help me, I don't know what I'm going to do, can't pay that bill, I can't do this, she's mad at me, he's mad at me, I need a new job, you just say, wait a minute, you're the overcomer, man. So I'm going to sit back down and I'm going to let the enemy underneath my feet because I'm in your lap. Live there. You can live there, guys. You really can live there. So, it's a place where we learn to hear and believe the honest truth. This is a scripture I shared a while ago because it's been burning on my heart. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the good news of Jesus. Listen to this. Faith isn't about your circumstances. Faith isn't about what's going on in your life. It's not about even your thought pattern. Faith is all about believing. And where you're going to start hearing and you're going to start really believing your faith is when you start really believing this good news of Jesus. And as you constantly and constantly take it in and take it in and take in the Word and take in the Word, that chapter 91 of Psalms will become life to you instead of frustration to you. Because it's frustration when it says, you know, 1,000 will come to this end and 1,000 will fall on this side and you won't be harmed, when you're walking in the middle of some pain right now. I get what you're saying, but the only thing that's going to change your belief system is faith. The only way you're going to get faith is by listening to the good news of Jesus. And he's good news. He ain't bad news. So here's my quote I wrote. I wrote my quote. I was rhymed. It's in this secret place where our faith, our belief in the finished work of Jesus, is built on his promises, not on our circumstances or our experiences. Do you hear me? In Psalms 91, as you read it, keep reading it this week. Keep letting it. I'm telling you, keep eating on it, because in Psalms 91, there are so many promises that seem so bizarre because we're not there yet. Listen to me. When you start hearing it and start believing it and start seeing what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you're not schizophrenic about it, and you really start knowing it, it will set you free. You will be free. And that's what we want to all be, is free. So focus on his promises, not on your circumstances. Focus on the fact that he says, oh yeah, I get it, you're sick. But listen, the Bible is very clear, man. The Bible is extremely clear that by his stripes, by his body, we are healed. We are healed. Not we're healed, could be healed. Not if I line up. No, sir. We are healed. But you don't understand. I still am sick. Are you? You still have symptoms. I'm telling you, you are healed. You are healed. You are whole. And as you start taking that in and start honestly believing that, things in your life will change. I shared with you a couple weeks ago about my prostate, which is the most most honest I've ever been with anybody about anything in my life. And I'm pretty transparent, if you will, but I just want you to know, ever since then, every single day of my life, I have been taking communion, and it's not the magic pill to get you healed, but what I'm saying is I've been taking communion, and when I take communion, I'm focusing on the fact that this bread represents who Jesus is. This bread represents my healing in my body. The blood doesn't represent my healing. It's the bread that represents my healing. As you study scripture, you'll see that, and then I take the cup, and the cup represents the fact that he took care of my sins, total my sins, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All my sins are gone. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Tomorrow too. Yes, tomorrow's sins too. Because if not, he died 2,000 years ago. If he didn't cover tomorrow's, then we're all messed up. Do you hear what I'm saying? But as I start taking that in and I start listening, I start becoming Jesus focused instead of sickness focused or pick your poison, man, people focused or whatever. Instead of focusing on me and my bad, I'm focusing on him and how awesome he is. And something is changing in my physical body. I'm not giving credit to the communion other than to say it is the communion, because I'm spending my thoughts with him rather than spending my thoughts on, oh my God, I got to get up and pee again. Sorry, that was really honest too, wasn't it? Not since I was 30 years old did I not have to get up and go to the bathroom at night. I'm telling you the truth right now. In the last 2 weeks, I haven't had to get up one time to get up to go to the bathroom. Since I was 30 years old. That's 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Now, fellas, I'm not saying this is the magic pill for the prostate. What I am saying is, good night. If we'll start focusing on him, focus on him, focus on his goodness, his mercy, on the truth of the matter, which is the truth. By his stripes, I am healed. By his blood, I am saved. He has cast all my sins away from me. Why do I want to do them again? It's silly. And as you start getting that, and as you start walking in John chapter 15, which is where it talks about being in the vine with Jesus, when you plant yourself in the vine, there'll be people that think you're not growing. There'll be people that even think you're not a believer, Ed, because, you know, you yelled at me. Whatever. Listen to me. We're all, when we plant there, we're this beautiful rose, and that rose, as we're planted in Jesus, will slowly and automatically start budding open. And listen, God is, when you plant in him, people are going to try to make you look pretty. Stop it. Just let it be a natural process. Selena, where are you at? I just saw you. You are just the primest example of that. Because, see, I'm going to be honest. I hope you're okay with it. She came to me a couple weeks ago, and she's like, man, you know, I've just been struggling. And she's just telling me all that. And I said, go back 6 months and look at where you were. And see, but you know why? Because she's in the vine now. And so it's a natural process. And you're drawing your sustenance and your strength from the vine instead of drawing it from bad relationships or you know, whatever. It's just, this is a wonderful example of planting in the vine. You're not going to do great. You're not going to do great. And if you do, you're lying to yourself. Because nobody does great. Why? Because we're humans. So I'm not great, but he is. I don't deserve, but he did it so I can have. And there's the hardest one. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this, God. But it's not the point, is it? He loves me. Do you love your kids sometimes and they don't deserve it? Amen? Amen. Pull up a chair, man. Warm your hands. Been outside?
Yeah.
Cold?
Yeah.
Just get here?
Yeah.
Really? So you hungry for God? Is that why you're here? When's the last time that you, like, talked to him? Seriously.
Last night.
Okay, and so I'm just kind of help you with what I've been talking about. I've been talking about how we don't like ourselves and how we don't think we line up to him. And so I'm convinced that the reason you just happened to walk in is because he's wanting to take the time to let you know, no matter how much other people say you're crazy. You hear what I'm saying? And no matter what they think of you, that he loves you.
Hallelujah.
And that you got 200 people in here,
yes, he does,
that are in awe that you're so important to Jesus.
Amen.
That he would stop life for a little secchi and tell you how important you are.
Amen.
That ain't a game, dude. That's legit. That's legit. When's the last time you used?
About 3 months ago.
Have you been clean 3 months, for real?
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
That's a little taste of how Jesus is. Stand with me, guys. Come on. You just came in right at the end of my message, and I'm not going to elongate it. But you can shake my hand. And I want you to see something, too. You are touchable. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I just see this huge cloud of ugly that has been dumped on you from other people and stuff. Can't tell you how important it is for you to understand the depth of the love that Jesus has for you and how valuable you are to him. I shared this story last week, but I need to tell you personally. I have a baseball card that's a Nolan Ryan baseball card, and they say it's worth $1,000. If I put it on eBay and I only get $300 for it, what's it really worth? $300, because something's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, right? Okay, watch this. Jesus went bankrupt for you to show you your value. And listen to me. I know times have been tough, but I'm telling you, I'm hearing in my heart, there is a job where you will be hired. You hear what I'm saying? There is a place where you will live. You get it? And he just loves you. That's all I can say. So, folks, I want everybody just to, if you're comfortable, raise your hands. Let's just pray. What's your name, dude?
Jesse.
Father, we just pray specifically for Jesse today. And God, I just pray that everything that's happened up to this point in life, all the dumb decisions that he's made, that he feels like he's made, they stop today because he's chosen you today. So, Lord, I just pray now that he's chosen to be in you, that he understands this secret place where he can dwell, that as he sits in your lap, Jesus, all of life will fall into place for him. You tell us very clearly to seek you first and your righteousness. So we know we're not righteous, but we know you are. So we're seeking your righteousness. And you said, and then our life will fall into place. So Lord, I pray in every avenue of Jesse's life that it will fall into place today, God. And I thank you. I thank you so much that you allowed me that you allowed me to share the love of who you really are. And God, we would just release him in all of this. Amen.
Help me sing this song, honey. In the secret place.
In the secret place.
Most High God,
of the Most High God,
I will dwell in peace.
In the secret place.
In the secret place.
Of the Most High God.
The Most High God.
I will dwell in peace. My refuge strong.
My refuge strong.
My hiding place.
My hiding place.
In the midst.
In the midst.
Of the storm.
Of the storm.
My refuge strong.
My hiding place.
My hiding place. In the midst.
Of the storm. I don't have very much of a voice today, but this is what I know. God is telling us that it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait for Him to work. And I just want to ask you today, give God some time. You put up with so many things for so long. Can't we just give God some time to work in our lives? Can't we just let Him know that we're going to trust Him to do the things that He needs to do because He loves us? Because He loves us. I just want to pray this prayer over all of you today. Father, I just thank You that today is a day of life.
Yes.
Today, Father, You're going to get glory, God, because our lives, God, are going to no longer be centered on turmoil and on loss. But my mind today, God, is focused on the promise of heaven and the life that You gave so I can have an exceedingly abundant life on this earth. And God, I'm praying for everyone right now in this room, Lord, that You will make Your peace known to them today. That, God, they'll be aware of it. That they'll be aware that the drama no longer has the draw. But Your peace, God, has the power to bring rest. I just thank You for this, Lord. Today, God, we are set free in Jesus' name. And we thank You for the good news. Amen? Amen. Do you just turn and hug somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here today. Stay in His peace. Amen?